What a beautiful day, beautiful week we've had, and to gather together today in your name, Yeshua, and bless the Father, bless Yahweh. We thank you for today, and we just are so grateful for all that you provide. And so we bless each and every one today and continually ask you, Holy Spirit, to dwell and move among us. We have plans, but you're always welcome to change the plans, just to put it out there for the enemy. You know that we're always open. So we bless each one here in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay. Hopefully, everybody did your homework and did a little studying on abiding in the Lord. What does it mean to you? I actually wrote down, I don't carry paper anymore, I just carry my phone and I write stuff in my phone. I send myself a text, that's how I keep up with it. Usually, since I don't send myself too many texts, I only have to have a couple to look at. Abiding in the Lord, and it means a continuous, ongoing relationship with Yeshua, with God, in every area of my life, in every part of my being. It's continuous and ongoing. It's daily. We have a little sign in our basement that hangs on the wall. It says, grace is not just a little prayer you say before a meal. It's a way to live. The name of our house, we named it Grace House for a reason, because it is a way to live. And that is how we try to live all the time. Sometimes we're not as graceful as others. But most of the time, we are. And most of the time, we're patient. So, with that said, I'm going to ask Al to come up and make an announcement he said he had. And then I'll share a couple examples.
Good morning, everyone. I need to tell people about the water gate the pool gate, the gate to the water. It's kind of a water gate, I guess. But the gate to the pool deck, which leads to the water. So there's a new gate. Well, Newgate is a prison in London. But anyway, I'll try and stay on point. You might have to remind me. There's a secret to the gate. It's supposed to be toddler-proof. But an unsupervised toddler can eventually figure things out. So the way to open the gate, and I'll put a sign on it, in case, so we don't have to remember, because if you're anywhere like me, I'll forget after today. Anyway, there's a button on the side of the gate, opposite the side of the gate, that has a hinge. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Open side, hinge side. Okay. On the top of the hinge side is where the trigger is. There's a button on the bottom, up and hold it and slide the top part toward the hinge. There's a question already. I'm not even through. Mic up. Mic down. What's the difference? Okay. Push up on the button and slide the gray plastic trigger thing toward the hinge side. And at the same time, pull up. Might take two hands. So you have to push the button up and hold it. Reach around like this. And slide the thumb slide on top toward the hinge. And lift. And the gate will open. You have to push it open, but it's openable. If you don't lift, then it just wiggles. And please don't use force, because it's not bulletproof. So, finesse is better than force. Colleen. I don't think so. It's at the top of the stairs. And the top of it is 40 inches. I've measured that to be sure the sides were even. Anyway, so a new gate. And if you forget, there will be a sign there. Hopefully it'll stay kind of dry so it can be red. It'll be white, black on white, but red. Anyway, I'm sorry for all the confusion. It's a water gate that's not red, unless you read the sign.
Thank you, Al. You don't have to write it in very big print, Al. The toddlers can't read anyway. So here is Al abiding in Christ, looking out for you guys. In other words, he wants you to be able to get into the pool instead of calling him. So he's looking out. Oh, he was looking out for him, wasn't he? Actually, he was looking out for both of y'all. So, and for the toddlers, you know. So he's going to put a sign on it that they can't read. And even if they could, they can't reach. They're not 40 inches around, you know. So it sounds interesting. It sounds like it'd be an adventure for this afternoon for some of you just to go practice getting in the pool. Oh, abiding in Christ. What does it look like to me? And I just read you what I felt like. It's continuous. It's every day. When you get up in the morning, what is the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning? Coffee? Is that what you said? There you go. Yeah, there's a little frame in my bathroom. I think it says coffee and Yeshua, and we can make it through the day. It's all I need. As Richard's sipping away. So, you know, I was thinking last week, I shared about how I found Rhonda's little computer watch because I walked through the door. I walked through the closet door, and he said, stop. And I did. And he said, look. And I did. I didn't know what I was looking for. I said that last week. And I found the watch that you knew was missing. I was just looking for something, you know. He didn't say what. But just those little tiny things like that. Sometimes it's just that little tiny unction in your gut. Or you're like, oh, man, something's not right about this. There's something going on here. Something's wrong or something's right. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, going, pause. I'm with you. God says I'm with you. Yeshua says I'm with you. Holy Spirit says I'm with you. So what's really going on? If you're not sick, then we need to pause for a second and see. We were driving down the road one day in Florida. We were going to a hotel that I had found that had a very, very cheap price. And we were driving down the road going to this hotel. And all of a sudden, I got this bad feeling. I mean, the closer we got to the hotel, the worse I felt. And finally, it dawned on me. The Lord's telling me, don't go there. I told Rhonda, I said, we're not going there tonight. We got to go somewhere else. So I turned around and go back the other way. And the farther away I got from it, the better I felt. And as soon as I got far enough away from it that I was not turning back, I was perfectly fine. No pain, no sickness, no nothing. And we stayed in a nicer hotel for the same price. So that's just how I feel when I'm abiding with the Lord continuously and I'm thinking about him. And so in the morning when I get up, usually I'm like, oh, Lord, I need help. I'm about to get out of bed. I need help getting out of bed, you know. Like yesterday, I did a lot of raking. I don't normally do a lot of raking of dirt. So I got up this morning, and there were muscles that I forgot I had. But my body reminded me I got them. And they're not happy with me. So I've been continuously praying with the Lord this morning for some extra help. I'm like, oh, I had a cramp in one of them. I didn't know that was even there. What do you use that thing for anyway? I guess raking. I don't know. That's the only time I ever used it. So it's great. Abiding. Spiritually, it does the same thing. When the Lord gives you a word of knowledge or a word, a prophetic word, He's with you. All of a sudden, He says, say this. And sometimes He only gives you one word. And if you're obedient and you say just the one word, He'll give you the rest with it. But sometimes it's just one word is all you need to give. Sometimes a name or something like that changes people. Even Yeshua did that. You know, He spoke to one of the disciples and said, there's no guile in you. I saw you under a tree. And he believed. That was it. Okay, Rhonda has something to share, and then Dee's going to come share. So be thinking about what you're going to share, because today is share day. The other thing that happens with abiding is it produces fruit. If you're abiding in Him, you're going to produce fruit, spiritual fruit, that remains. That's the nice part.
So, Father, we come with grateful hearts this morning. We're so thankful for so many things. The fact that we're even here and breathing and alive is because of your grace and your loving kindness. We acknowledge your goodness this morning. We acknowledge your holiness. You are light and there's no darkness in you at all, not even a tiny little micro speck. You're pure light. You are pure love. You're good. Even when we're not kind and loving, you remain kind and loving. You're beyond our comprehension. Because we're so far removed from holiness and light. We live in a dark, dark world, and this world has so fashioned us and formed us from birth. So much so that we're not even sometimes aware of how dark it is around us, because we're so used to it. But that's not true for you. You're untainted by this world. Oh, that we could truly die to ourselves, surrender, live in you, and let you live in us. Oh, that we could recognize that we're just a bunch of broken people. In need of a perfect God, a perfect Father, perfect Deliverer, perfect Savior, a perfect Lord and soon coming King. Oh, that we could get low and fall in love. That we would never arrive and say, oh, I've made it. I'm finally good enough, or I'm finally holy, or I'm finally a Christian. I know that on the day that we see you face to face, every one of us will fall on our faces with the fear of the Lord and the recognition of our unworthiness and our inability to be anything other than human, apart from your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yeshua, for taking up residence in this temple. Thank you for desiring to live in us and with us and through us while empowering us to do and be all that you've asked us to do and be. Thank you for loving us first so that we could love you back. Thank you for your offer of being our sustenance, our life. We simply get to be a branch, and the trunk, the vine, does all the work, and the branch lives off of you. Thank you that that's how you've designed it, that we are to gain everything that we need for every moment of every day from the vine. Oh, teach us, train us, transform us to be a branch, to glorify the vine, that we would bear fruit that remains. It's the only way. It's the only way to true life. Yahweh, help us. As we try to live out of our own vine, we come so short. You are our life. You are the only love that we have inside of us that counts. You're the only goodness, the only kindness. Nothing else counts apart from you. Teach us to live in your light. Not the light that I've created or the world has created, but your light. Teach us to partner with the light every day, every moment, in every decision we make. Every offer that's presented to us, teach us what it means to have no partnership with darkness, but to live in your light. Transform us. That's our prayer. As we behold you, attentively beholding you continuously. Teach us, train us, mold us and make us a vessel so that Christ can live through us. So that when people encounter us, they encounter the living God, Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit. So that when we encounter people who are less than Christ-like, who betray us or hurt us or wound us or ignore us or reject us or whatever, even to those people, we can love them because you love everyone and you live inside of me. That means I can love everyone. Your good Father. Nothing like the fathers on this earth. oh, so far removed in perfection and love from the fathers on this earth. Even the best earthly father is so inadequate compared to you. And we acknowledge your perfection this morning, your pure light, your pure love, your kindness. We acknowledge who you are. And we also acknowledge our weakness and our frailties and our flaws and our propensity to sin. And we acknowledge that your love is greater than our weakness. That your love never changes. That you are willing to forgive any and all sins, no matter how grievous they might be. And you wash us white as snow. And embrace us as a son or a daughter. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And it is in that precious, beautiful, powerful name, the name Yeshua, that we all ask you to do this in our lives. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read. This passage came to me when Daniel was talking. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. I believe this is a word for somebody in here, maybe all of us. But I believe this is a word from the Lord. So, Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, starting in 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, that's Satan. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Or just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So I encourage you to take that and pray into it, and I know the Lord's speaking to some more than one person about connections, whether they're emotional or physical or spiritual or transactions or business or recreational. The Lord is asking you to draw a line and say, no, I'm not going to partner with darkness. So, amen. I leave that with you. So last week I shared that dream that I had where I was restating the times tables over and over and over and over and over and over. At the end of that, the Lord drew a parallel between the fact that the times tables are always the same. 9 times 9 is always 81. 3 times 7 is always 21, etc., etc. It never changes. It's concrete. Everybody that knows the multiplication tables will give you the same answer. And so he drew a parallel after I had said them I don't know how many times. He drew a parallel between abiding in the Word, and that in the same way that those, if I know the multiplication tables, I'm always going to have the same answer, and I'm always going to have the right answer. And it's never going to change, and it won't change for anybody else either. In that same way, he says, my Word is like that. It never changes, and it's always going to be the same. And whoever he was yesterday, he is today, and he will be tomorrow. And so in that, he spoke to me, John 8, 31 and 32. And that verse, those verses say this. So Yeshua was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we have some conditions here. First of all, Yeshua is saying this to the Jews who believed him. So they were listening to what he was saying and teaching, and they believed Yeshua. And then Yeshua says to them, basically he says, that's great that you believe, but there's more. Now you must abide in my word. That word abide in that passage means to stay, to abide, to remain. So now he's saying to them, if you truly are my disciples, just because you believe doesn't necessarily mean that you are truly following me. He says, if you will abide in my word, then you will truly be my disciples. And if you abide in my word, first you believe, then you abide in my word, you stay, you remain in my word, then you will truly be my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. So it isn't just this knowing the word that does all the work. There's a process, just like this here. There's a process of getting to the truth. And I want to add one more thing to this little staircase this morning. The Lord said to me, you left one out. Student, disciple, patient. We become a patient in his hospital where he heals and puts Humpty Dumpty back together and et cetera. But in this, we could do the same with John 8, 31 and 32, the staircase there of what he's inviting us into. So a handout, if y'all would come up and pass these out for me. Just so it's quick. I just thought it was so important that I wanted you all to have these passages that I've been meditating on in relation to abiding. These are not all of the New Testament words about abiding. Here's some more. There are many more, but these were the ones that were really highlighted and powerful in my regard. So Greg needs one in the back, too. All right. So Yeshua said this morning when I was typing this up, it was so funny. He's so funny. Daniel will like this one. Yeshua said to me, he said, just like the multiplication tables are the same and never change, my word is true and never changes. You can always count on me. I just had to stop and laugh. Like, oh, I love that, because I'm not like that. I don't think that way, you know. He said, you can always count on me because I am the word. John 1:1-5. And I am the same today and tomorrow and forever. I always have the correct and true answer, even in the midst of the storm and crisis and trouble. I am always your answer. Abide in me and you will have life. Remember when
pause for just a second. I have to share this since you shared that about count on me. When I'm up there ready to pray in, I said, we need to quiet ourselves. Inside, he said, why? It's noisy in heaven. And I stopped. I started laughing. I'm like, on the inside, I almost laughed out loud. It was difficult. He said, you don't need to quiet yourself. You need to quiet the things around you so you can hear me. But you don't need to quiet yourself because I'm in here and you can hear me. So just get the noise outside out and don't worry about the inside. So, but the part about it's noisy in heaven, because it is. And these people throwing things. There are people shouting. There's not just a handful. Whatever a myriad is more than 1,000. So, there's thunder, lightning. He showed me a flash, a picture. Quiet yourself. He goes, not here. So, I'm still laughing on the inside. Sorry, I just had to share that. Since you said count on me, I'm like, okay.
Thanks, hon. Okay, so let's read these passages. John 1. He said, you can always count on me because I am the Word. Remember when he says I am in the New Testament? He's using the name Yahweh. That's what that name is. It's the name that Yahweh revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses says to God, when I go back to the Jews, what am I supposed to tell them your name is? And he says, I am is my name. And I am carries the idea of I am actively present. That means he's working. He's actively working when he says that name, when he calls himself that. So 1 John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Yeshua. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things came into being through Yeshua. And apart from Yeshua, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Yeshua was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. And we all know that to be true in the natural. You come into a dark room, and you turn on the light, that light overpowers the darkness. And if it's a tiny light and it's a big room, then it's going to overpower the darkness in that area for its capacity. Well, Yahweh has an infinite capacity. There's the whole entire world can be thrust into darkness, and just his very presence takes care of that. So Yeshua is saying to us, you don't have anything to worry about. I was in the beginning. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. He is, and everything in between. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6. For I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. That ought to put the fear of God in you.
if it wasn't for the fact that Yahweh never changes, that he is loving kindness, long suffering, quick to forgive, if it wasn't for the fact of who he is, we'd all be dead and consumed. And it's only because of his kindness towards us that we're not. Okay, John 15, verses 4 through 17. I want you to notice here, John speaks a whole lot about abiding. I was really impacted by how often, these aren't even all of them. There are more passages where John is directly speaking to this issue of abiding in Yeshua, Jesus. John 15, 4. This is Yeshua speaking. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit from itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. He says it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That nothing means nothing. We can't think in our head, okay, well, I can do X, Y, Z. I don't need God in this area of my life. I'm doing perfectly fine in that area. According to whose standards? That's the problem. According to Yahweh's standards, you're not. According to your own standards and the world's standards, you might really be shining. But if Yahweh isn't the one who's conceived it, he doesn't appreciate it. He happens to believe that he's the creator, because he is. All right, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You know, I've had struggles, and I've had people have lots of struggles about this verse. Well, I asked what I wished, and it didn't happen. But the problem is we aren't abiding in him, and we aren't abiding in his word. If Yahweh speaks a word to me, and it's truly from him, and I ask him for it, you can count on it. It will happen. Now, if I come up in my vain imagination with something that I want, and I tell myself Yahweh told me yes, and I ask for it, it's probably not going to happen unless Yahweh decides to give it to me to teach me a lesson, because he does that too. So you can count on it. If we're abiding in the Lord and he speaks a word to us, it, and we ask him to do it, it will happen 100% of the time. Satan can't stop it. He can't. We could get in there and mess it up. And we're real good at that. Some of us are better than others at that. I used to be really good at it because I'm not so much anymore. I've learned the hard way. I used to be like that horse that you put in the gate for the race, you know, that race horse, and he's chomping at the bit to get out of that gate, you know, because he's on adrenaline. That was me. Man, I got, you put a goal out in front of me, set me in that stall, and I'm like, I would take off and get ahead of Yahweh. And the Lord actually paired me with a Clydesdale that just kind of plods along. And for my protection, because I was like a racehorse, and I had to submit to his slow plodding going through, you know, and I'm like, what is your problem? You know, and he's like, oh, Lord didn't say now. And I'm like, yes, he did. He showed it to me. I saw it in a vision. I got to, no, it doesn't mean it's now. And I was thinking yesterday how much I've learned in that area, especially if the Lord allows you to see things in the future, they can feel so right here, you know, like, okay, this is going to be next week or whatever. And I've learned the hard way that, I mean, man, he's told me things back in 1990, late 90s, I was having every night, like dream after dream after dream about end times, and China and Russia invading America. And I mean, just details. And you know, I'm like, I was so new to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and prophetic, and I didn't know what in the world was happening. And it was about to happen any minute. It was so real to me. And here it is 30 years later, and it still hasn't happened yet. But I believe it will. So anyway, where was I? Abide in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. So he loves to partner with us. He's glorified by the fact that we abide in him and we partner with him in prayer and ask for what he's told us to ask for. That means, though, you have to have a relationship with him if you're going to know what his heart is on an issue. And that glorifies him when we do that. That you bear much fruit, that glorifies him, and so prove to be my disciples. So if we are truly his disciples, like John 8 says, we will bear much fruit. And that will be evidence that we truly are his disciples and that we're abiding in his word. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So now he's adding, don't just abide in my word. He's the word. Don't just abide in that aspect, but also abide in the fact that I love you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That reminds me of Yeshua saying, if you love me, you will obey me. We're not supposed to just obey him. We're supposed to love him, and because we love him, we will obey him. It's a big difference. So, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, Yeshua here is a pattern. He is the model. He's the forerunner. He came as a man to show us, to model for us, to pioneer the way for us to live this life the way he lived this life. And that was by abiding and keeping his Father's commandments and loving his Father. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. Now I want to stop there because I searched Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I can't find one place where Yeshua called his disciples slaves. I don't have an answer for that. But here he says he did, but he won't anymore. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. So if we want our prayers to be answered, he just gave us some huge clues right there. Number one, acknowledge the fact that you don't have you can't claim anything that you did in order to become a Christian. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He picked you out of the however many people that have lived since the beginning of time to be one of his sons or daughters. He He chose you. That's a big deal. I remember in school, I wasn't very athletic because of my health and stuff. And so when they picked teams for games, sports, I was one of the last one. And I was the one that just had to go because it was the last one, right? And that's a terrible feeling. But Yeshua chose me first. Not that, you know what I'm saying, not first literally. But he chose me as, hey, you, yeah. He didn't wait and, oh, you're the leftovers. And that's true for you. Even with all our junk, even with all our faults, and in this choosing of us, he appointed us to bear much fruit. That's not an option. It's not an option to bear fruit. If you're a tomato plant, your intention is to bear tomatoes and lots of them. If you're a cucumber, your purpose is to bear computers. No. Wow. Cucumbers. That's the word.
I just got to laugh. I love it.
No, don't bear computers. Nobody here. You're not a computer. Anyway, so we are to bear much fruit, not just a little bit of fruit, but much fruit, and fruit that's not going to rot and decay, but fruit that's going to remain. I have a friend in Taiwan. She loves to, not Taiwan, Singapore. She loves to send me really unique birthday gifts every year. And she sent me about, I don't know, 5 years ago, a real live, dead live, a real used to be alive but dead cut orchid flower grouping. And it's in this globe sealed. And it was really living. It's not fake. It's not plastic. And it's preserved infinitely to never fade, to never wilt, to never whatever. I'll have to bring it and show it to you. It's fruit that remains. And she had no idea the parallel that my brain would go click, 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 you know, and I think, oh, Lord, that's what you do in us. You bear this fruit in us that is meant to remain forever. Danny, remind me to bring that next time we're together. It's so cool. And it's true, it hasn't wilted a bit. I don't know how they do it. So that's how only Yahweh does it for us. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is manifested, when Yeshua is manifested, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So John's calling us little children. In other words, be like a little child, innocent, pure, full of life, excited to see Yeshua, no shame, no fear, because you know him. You abide in him. And that's possible. 1 John 4:12-19. No one has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another. If we love one another. There's an if. If we love one another, Yahweh abides in us. And that's because Yahweh loves us, and he abides in love. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. So if you want to know if you're abiding in Yahweh and he's abiding in you, here it is. He has given us of his spirit. Is his Holy Spirit living in you? Do you hear his voice? Do you feel that unction of say this, go there, do that? Or when you are anything less than Christ-like, you feel that conviction inside that says, oh, that was not good. that's the evidence that you're abiding. We have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love has been perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Let me make it more clear. There is no fear in Yahweh's love. There's no fear in Yahweh's love. Perfect love, that's Yahweh's love, cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Beloved, if you, to the best of your ability, are pursuing this relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have nothing to fear. Even in your weakness, you have nothing to fear. We love because he first loved us. The only reason we can love Yahweh and love each other is because Yahweh loved us first. And he gave us the ability to love. If you're having trouble loving people, you might want to have a close encounter with Yahweh love. And because when that happens, you have so much grace to love even those who are hard to love. And when you find yourself getting irritated and agitated, it's an indication that you aren't abiding in the Father, because the Father has unlimited, infinite love. And somewhere you've unplugged. Maybe you just unplugged in the area of that one particular person because they get on your last nerve and you're just done with it, right? But Yahweh says, love with my love. He loves them. He doesn't have a last nerve to get on. So I was having a birthday party, cereal dinner the other night with Cindy and Dee. And I don't know, we were talking about abiding and whatever. And Dee just started sharing. And I mean to tell you, she was preaching. I said, would you please share Saturday as the Holy Spirit leads? And she said yes. And of course, all hell broke loose in her life. That's the way that works, right? So come on up, Dee. I've told her just whatever. Whatever the Lord gives.
I can't help. I've got to go a little bit of this direction before I go that direction. So Rhonda's up here teaching, and I talking about love, and no greater love is it to lay down your life for someone. And I can't stop thinking about the horses. And I got a story to tell before I go into abiding. So we used to have this horse named Jewel, or we still have Jewel. We used to have Ruby as well. Ruby was a chestnut mare, and she was, and I don't even want to say these terms because Jewel didn't see her that way, but she was very dramatic. A horsefly would get on her, and she would throw herself on the ground, and she would roll around. She was kicking just crazy-like. You would be like, wow, she is really overdoing a horsefly, you know? But Jewel didn't see her that way. The fly was biting her, and she was so sensitive that it was hard for her. Like, she really wanted that horsefly off of her. But she couldn't get it off. It was relentless going after her. And I was like, Jewel, do not go over there because you're going to get kicked, you know? Jewel goes up very stoically and stands right beside of her and takes the horsefly. And Ruby is kicking And Jewel doesn't make one move. She doesn't say, "You're overreacting. What are you doing?" She just takes the horsefly. And the next thing you know, Jewel's tail hits the horsefly and it dies. And they go back to complete peace. Jewel never left her side. She never said, you got way too much going on for me. You need to go over there and deal with your fly because you're being too much. Like, it really affected me that day because it's like, man, can we do that for one another? Can we be like that? Can we lay down our lives and not be afraid to get kicked, to take a fly for someone? And I don't know why that just kept, when Rhonda was teaching, that's all I could think about. Like, wow, the herd does that for each other. And they don't think differently about each other after the fly's gone. They actually go back into complete peace. And Jewel never lost her peace. That was what the cool part about the whole thing was. So that after that being said, I had an incredible encounter with the Lord. And let me just pray. So, Lord, fade me out completely. We just ask for you to fade in to all of our lives and to all the places that we feel like we're carrying things that it's just heavy. Come in. Come into all the places of our heart, Lord. I ask right now in the name of Yeshua that you make us sensitive to you. Every place that we've become desensitized, Lord, I ask that you make us sensitive to your spirit so that we don't miss one thing that you're speaking to us, teaching us, moving us, growing through us. Because you're big, and I had such a revelation of that this week, Lord, that nothing can steal. Like, it's tried to steal. The enemy has tried to steal this. And I have a choice, Lord. And I just pray that each and every one of us, the places where we have a choice, that we choose you. That we don't choose darkness, but we choose the light. That we choose love. That perfect love casts out fear. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in this farm and in every single ministry that goes on out here, which is a lot. It's the supernatural happening out here in each and every place of this farm. We want you to be glorified, Lord. It is not us. We want you to be glorified in each person that comes on the farm next week. Let them see you. Let them not see us. We want them to see you. We want them to have encounters with you that change them, that transform them. You are what we want, Lord. We are hungry. We stir us up, Lord. Stir up our hunger for you. Stir us up, Lord. We lift our gaze to the one, the only one that can do it. In Yeshua's name. So I was walking in the garden, which I love to do, but I was feeling pressure. It was almost as if I was walking around like this because there was so much pressure. Because I thought that, hey, if I can get this done, if I can get all this harvested, if I can get Chase mowing the grass here and then there, and it was like I was taking it all on, you know? And I was forgetting to look for him. I was forgetting who's the one doing it, you know? And I was in the garden, and I was feeling this pressure, like, on my back. Like, literally on my back, I was feeling like I was leaning over. And all of a sudden, I was harvesting cherry tomatoes, and everything changed. The pressure completely released. the vine leaves were not wilting. They were alive and like glistening. Even seriously, the tomato plant knew the Lord was in the room. Like it changed. The tomato was perfect. Like it had absolutely no flaws. Creation responded to him, and I was too. Like everything in the garden responded to him in that moment. I looked up, and sometimes when he comes in this strong, I go face down because it was that strong. But this time, this particular time, I looked up and I saw a rain cloud, and I just became so undone because I haven't turned a water hose on in months. I can't remember the last time I watered anything. I have not had to turn. I didn't even know the water wasn't working. Some people carry water to water their gardens. And I was like, Lord, I'm not doing this. He's like, you're not doing this. I'm doing this. He's causing things to grow. I'm not. I have no ability to do that. He's causing things to grow. And all of a sudden, I'm undone, and I don't even see grass the same. I'm seeing grass as carpet. Like, the Lord has carpeted the world for us. We don't even have to wallow around in the mud all day because he created every blade of grass. I mean, seriously. You guys, like, this is so big. Like, I was just like, oh my God, like, he's doing this. I'm walking with him and entering in, and that's all I do. Can I lay in my bed and stare out the window? I've been there. And if you're there, it's all right. He's bigger. Ask him to lift your head. That's all you got to do. Like, because he's the power inside of you. We aren't the power. Sometimes when I see this, I'm like, sometimes I see it upside down where the bride-to-be is down here and you start up up top. Sometimes I'm lost up top. And sometimes I'm lost down in the mud. Either way, he can lift you up. He can change everything. Every single pressure that's on you is not from the Lord. He releases the pressure. And when he released that pressure, the next day we got all of the potatoes done. Like, everything changed in the entire garden. Nothing was seen as a burden. And I'm going to tell you, I've got an amazing team. But it's a miracle what happens out there. And it's not us. We're not the miracle. It's him. Like, he's growing things. We can plant and we can water, but only Yahweh makes things grow. And boy, is things growing. Grass is growing. Trees are growing. We're growing. We're changing. He's changing us. To know it's not us, you guys. We don't have what it takes to do the supernatural. And that's what the world needs. The world doesn't need our good deeds. They need him. Because when he comes into the room, everything changes. Plants respond to his presence. I respond to his, like, everything he created responds. And I'm just so undone by it because I'm so excited because everything changes when he comes in the room. And what did I do? I lifted my eyes up and saw what he was doing even in the clouds. Like, and I can't really say it enough because he changed me that day. He took my eyes off of me and what I think I'm doing. And he said, no, look at what I'm doing. And what he's doing is far bigger and far greater and far more than I could even, my biggest deeds I could ever possibly do is filthy rags. It's filthy rags. But he still loves me. Like, he still chooses us to find him. Like, So no matter where you are, no matter where you are, whether you think you're doing it all or you think that you're not doing anything, he's bigger. He's so much bigger. And like the plants, they don't, when he enters in, and those plants didn't respond to me that way, but when he came in the room, they perked up, you guys. Like, their leaves responded with, like, they responded to the glory. Like, they opened up. I wish y'all could see it. You go to the garden and see it. He'll come to you. But I don't know. I felt a lot of conviction, like, in that moment. I just was like, wow, how quickly I want to take things back. And how quickly it's I think that it's what I'm doing that is going to do anything. Don't get me wrong, we do have to get up and enter in with him and choose to say yes to what he's doing. We do have to, you know, there is a part where there's a resistance, like where you think that you don't have to do, and none of us do that, but you do have to say yes. But man, he's so ready. He's so ready to enter into every single problem, to every single celebration, to every single detail of every single day. We just walk with him. And we just get to bear the fruit, because when I picked that tomato, I knew he grew it, and I get to feast on the thing that he grew. Like, it's so much more than, oh, we're growing all these vegetables, and man, they're... It's like, no, he grew that for me. Like, he touched that tomato, and I get to consume it. Like, whoa. Something the Lord touched, I get to consume. I love to consume things that the Lord touched. But I don't know. I just felt the Lord really wanted me to share that today. And I just never want to lose it. And I never want to forget. Because so often we forget when he comes in the room. And then the other night I was like, man, I don't want to forget where he brought me from. Because when I really start thinking about the power of the Lord and my frailty, even in the midst of sin and darkness, and he's so much bigger. Like, I can't forget that I was on the streets when I was a teenager, and he brought me out and said, no, you're chosen for something bigger. He didn't say, you're a little bit too far gone. I can't help you. No matter where you are with the Lord, you're never too far gone. And I'm going to tell you, man, he's so ready for his people. He's so ready for us to seek him and find him. He's in everything. He's in your doorknob. He's in your mirror. He's in your water that drains out of your drain. He's in the grass. He's in the sky. He's in the flower. He's in everything. Everything is his. He's in you. Like, he's in you. He's in me. Like, y'all, and we're together. Think about what's in this farm with all of us together, and half of us are gone. What is possible? The impossible is what's possible. And that's what he's showing us, is we can't do it, but he can. And he's going to. And he's going to continue to show off in ways that are going to blow our minds. Because darkness doesn't have a chance. Darkness does not have power over Yahweh. It flees when he enters the room. It bows when he enters the room, y'all. It does not have power over us. is such good news, you guys. Look up. Look into his eyes. Because all you're doing is following, abiding. That's all we're doing. We're not doing anything. We're not growing fruit. We're not. He's doing it. Look at him. Find him. This very similar thing happened in the woodlot. I was sitting there thinking I was going to do some wood stacking, you know. And I wasn't stacking it quite right. It was a little wobbly. So I'm just like, man, is this really what I'm supposed to do? I don't know if I can do this, you know. He's like, you're not doing it. And the second I shifted my gaze, I was like, where are you, Lord? Show me where you are. And I kept seeing every little crevice in the wood. And I was like, whoa. He touched this piece of wood. Like, he created this piece of wood. And I'm touching it. And the next thing I knew, 5 seconds later, I have a stack built higher than I am. And it's straight. And Colleen's like, it's time to go. And I didn't want to go. That's what happens when we abide. So, I love you guys. Amen. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that it's not about us. Thank you for every single detail that you've put in nature, that you've put inside of us. Our bodies respond to you. Help us to respond to you like those leaves responded to you. That they literally opened up and said, come in, let your glory come in. Help us, Lord. Help us to not have anything that we want to hold back from the glory. We allow you to come in if you do, you know. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you want to dwell in us, through us, in your creation. Like, wow. Lift our eyes. In Yeshua's name, amen. If anybody else has any thing they want to share.
I love it when the Lord's in the room. Okay. After that, who wants to go? Who wants to share what the Lord is doing in your life today? Or yesterday? Come on. I see one up.
Well, I know Danny doesn't carry a purse, and I don't either. I carry a fanny pack, and I lost it today. My keys for my car are in there. I was going to go get a mattress today. I wouldn't have the money for my mattress. I had just gotten some cash yesterday from everything was gone. I looked everywhere through my house. I looked up and down, and I kept hearing in my head, ask him to pray, ask him to pray. And I thought, okay, fine. This is embarrassing, but I'll ask. I asked. It wasn't even 5 minutes later. This lady sitting over here says, Colleen, I think I just found your fanny pack. It's in your buggy, which is parked over across from Alpha. It's not even in my house or under anything. Could have rained last night. So I got my fanny pack back, and it took the Lord 5 minutes to get it. And it took me 5 minutes to ask him, or probably longer. I looked everywhere and couldn't find it. And I'm telling you what, I felt so thankful to the Lord about how he managed to get Cindy to see it, for her to call me immediately, and then for me to go over and get it. And I knew that was the Lord. That wasn't just any of us. I also want to say, if I could add one more thing, I put some books over there on the table. it's interesting, we're talking about the Word, and there's a little lady named Ruth Chaness, and she writes prayers and classifies them according to areas of need in your life and uses Scripture as the prayer. She doesn't, you know, add anything to it other than to put your name in or maybe a friend's name in. You're welcome to them. The lady, her daughter, sent me a box of 140 of these for $10. Not each, but the whole, that was the shipping price. So help yourself. If you want to take one for a friend, go ahead. I've got more. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so the whole abide thing, because I love definitions. What stuck out to me are stand for, endure, and tough it out, which is all like, wow, kind of a suck it up buttercup thing, right? And it feels a little hard. And so way back in, sometime in July, early July, I was listening to Jamie Walden, and I've had this for a while, and it seems like today's the day to share some of this. He was talking about being a valorous warrior. Did I say it right? Because he didn't say it right when he said it either. And he had three things. Purify your camp. Grow in your fear of the Lord. Stop fearing man. And the third one, hide, dwell, come under, and run to Yahweh. And then his last statement was what struck me. And fight from a position of victory. And so I can abide in the Lord, toughing it out, sucking it up. I can look across this farm and go, there are so few of us. How are we ever going to get this all done and walk around stooped over and run from this to this and this? But that whole, the phrase, fight from a place of victory has just continued to keep hitting me. And I'm not stressed out. And there are 1,000,010 things to do here. And I am not stressed out. And it's crazy I'm not. And I have this peace, like, we're just going to get done what he wants us to get done. And it doesn't have to look like we think it should have looked or used to look or any of those things. It's about who I'm working with, what I'm doing in that moment, what he's asking me. So fighting from a place of victory in everything. And so that's abiding for me. So, yeah, D. Wait, do you want this? Wait.
I love what you just said about it's not going to look like what it used to look like. Like, what does he mean there? What is he doing where it's not going to look the same? Because he's doing a new thing. And that just really popped out when you said that. I was just like, whoa, that's what he's doing. He wants us to lay down what it looks like so he can do a new thing. Oh, that's so good, Cindy. Thank you.
Because I could get really caught up in controlling and getting it all done and making it look and be what I think it should be, and it has nothing to do with me. So I just get up every morning like, okay, this is what I thought I'm going to do, and now I've just done all this over here, and I've not touched my list because I have a big list. It's on 3 pages. But I have so many things crossed off my list. You know, because he's doing it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to stress it. So who's next? I'll even bring it to you. Bev.
Okay, abide in him. You know what? I've been thinking, so I've been battling this staph infection, right? For about 7 months, and they've told me it can take about 12 months before you're actually healed from it. But I feel like the Lord is, honestly, he's doing what he says in 1 Peter 5, what is it, verse 10, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. So I was thinking about this produce thing, right? Because I feel like it's taken these 7 months like to just even feel more strength and more energy. And in the last few weeks, I just feel like I'm getting so much stronger. I go out to do the produce, and honestly, some days it takes an hour, 2 hours. One day it was 3 hours. From 10:30 to 1:30, I was doing produce because there were crates upon crates upon crates of tomatoes and cucumbers, and, you know, it just took a long time. But I just have been able to let Yahweh put it in me to be that person, to work with him, to work with what he's giving us, Dee, like you said. I mean, he's the one that's growing all of it. And he's transforming my mind and putting in me that desire to work with the produce. You know, I'm telling you, I was such a soft person. I always wanted to just forget about that, go to the store and buy what I liked because, you know, the cans of tomato sauce and all that stuff were so tasty and so much easier. And now I'm cooking tomatoes. Like, I had a whole cupboard full of tomatoes, 16, I think, that one day. And I just, you know, I cooked them. I blanched them and put them in ice water and got the skin off and then cooked them down for 2 hours, something like that. Made spaghetti sauce. I've been starting to do that. I've been starting to store carrots in my refrigerator. I never used to do that. I just go out and buy a bag of carrots at the store. So I feel like he is giving me that way of thinking about working with what he's giving us, working in our community and helping each other. I mean, he really is doing that in me, in my heart. And I love doing produce. I feel really blessed that I'm able to help you guys and give to you. And I don't know, I think it's part of that. It's part of that restoring me and healing me and strengthening me. It's amazing. He is amazing. So for abiding in him, it's like I'm partly in that category of student, disciple, and patient. Being the hospital patient even for 7 months, I mean, I just feel like he's done so much. And every day when I was in the hospital, this was back in January 1st, right? Every day he kept telling me, I'm taking really good care of you. Trust me. Be still and know who I am. That's what he's told me every single day. And so I'd ask him to hold me and just spend time in his presence. And he's done so much. I mean, he's brought me farther than that even. But it's amazing what he does. And it's, so I don't know. I think partly for me, that's partly abiding in him, getting outside of myself. Not outside, but the inner, you know, our inner thing in him with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abiding there. That's what I want. Anybody else?
Okay. I like one of the things that's being hit on is that it's not our ability. It's not our strength. And what I heard the Lord say some time ago about Gideon going from an army to a few, it's not our strength. Yet in that, we have a part to play. And how is he speaking to us? And I was just thinking about what Bev just shared. And not just that, the little things. It's like, God, there's things in our lives that we do that we put our hands to, kind of like doing the tomatoes. You had to learn how to do the tomatoes. You had to learn how to boil the water. You had to learn to prepare the ice, have it ready. You had to learn to boil it. You had to learn to
how long do you cook it and all that, and then put it away. You know what? Is that nothing? I don't think so. And just like gardening, the same thing in every possible way. In gardening, there's so much deeper. The land, the how do you prepare the ground, planting the seed. I love that. Who makes it grow but the Lord? And but in that place, you know, I really like that, is that Rhonda said she heard patience. So patience is the thing that in the process of what God brings about, do we want things now? Well, we can. But there's a reality is that God, you are working something that is so much greater that we cannot possibly imagine, and yet you want to bring that reality to us. And I say all that, abiding. You know what, I didn't catch that part about that was homework. But I do want to say this, is that I got caught, I heard the Lord say, oh my goodness, now I'm sitting here going blank. Understanding. What is understanding? And some time ago it hit me, that verse that says, and you know what, I don't remember where it is. The Lord says, I've given you understanding. And I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness. He says that there's a verse that says, me, I am the understanding. And going, wow. So I pray, there's that verse that says, we pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wow. It's not just understanding, but that reality, but going, oh my goodness. It just struck me when I read that and heard that. It's like, you, Yeshua, are the fullness. And yet, more. He wants to give us more. That's what we're created for, to know Him. So this is the part that hit me through what Rhonda has been sharing in John. And if I can say this right, I think the first chapter, I think it talks about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was talking about this one that is coming, that I am not worthy to untie his shoes. And yet it says, he says that he hears of this one that has come. Is he the one? Is he the one? And it's like, I look at that going, understanding. And then you go to chapter 2, and it talks about the Pharisees. You know, and for me, I'm looking at it going, who is a Pharisee? And I'm looking at that going, you know what, they're trying to build what they thought they should build. And what did it get them? But it makes me look at myself going, what is understanding? And then you go to chapter 3, and it talks about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, and the story says that he got to go meet with Yeshua. And Yeshua said, you are a great teacher, and you... I don't remember how it goes, but it's like, to me, you don't know. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. Because I don't remember the whole thing, but it struck me. Here's a man looking, but he wants understanding. Was he not looking for understanding? And I went back to Luke chapter 24, which talks about the road to Emmaus. And I went reading that, In other words, they're walking the road, and there's two that are walking, and they got to walk 7 miles to Jerusalem. And this man shows up and starts talking with them and sharing. Yeshua was sharing with them. But the part that got me was, so they're sharing with him, and then they ask him, will you come and stay with us? And they had him come and stay with them. And they sat down for a meal, and he broke bread. And in that moment of breaking bread, they saw the Lord, and he disappeared. Now you go back to chapter 2 of John. Zeal for my house. There's moments where he shows himself strong. He shows himself in moments in time and going, do it again, Lord. I want to know you. That is what I'm made for. Even when I don't understand, but I'm going, I saw something that is beyond my understanding. But I'm going, I want to be a part of that. And to me, it's just like, I say that being here, being a part of Harvest Home, being a part of this, walking this out day by day, walking with others. Lord, you are in our midst. You are in our midst and a people for you. And that you are doing, he is doing a mighty work. And yet he wants his kids to jump in. To jump in the journey with him. He loves us. He really, 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 I like that. He really, 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 really likes us. He loves us.
I'm way in the back, so I didn't want to have everyone turn heads or something. I believe I'm just to share about a tomato plant. When we moved up to the Shepherd's House upper level, there was a little tomato plant peeking its head out of this big pot, one of the pots that's upstairs, and I had no idea where it came from. Hey, baby girl. I hope she wants to talk to you. And hi. So it's hard to concentrate when she's like, hi. You want to say hi? Okay. Something like that. Let's see, I was kind of excited. I was like, okay, last year I put my heart and soul into these two tomato plants that Celeste helped me plant in the back, which are still dead in the ground there. I still have to remove them. It's just a sore reminder. They didn't really thrive very much, but thank you, Lord, for that experience because I learned a lot. So anyway, I just saw this tomato plant. I was like, oh, look what the Lord has done. You know, he gave me this free tomato plant. But I wasn't like super faithful at first trying to take care of it. And, you know, Suzanne came, you know, in the midst of moving upstairs and she's like, oh, we got to water this. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And so she watered it. And so I've been trying to steward it ever since. And I honestly haven't done a great job. I probably have a kindergarten knowledge on gardening, although some kindergartens probably know more than I do. So this little plant grew, and then I was like, okay, I'm sure I got to get a stake for this thing and tie it up. But I didn't do it in time, so it started to bend over, and we had some storms come through, and it's like scraping at the pot, and so it rubbed raw on like one of the vines. So I said, okay, now is definitely the time to put, you know, try to put it or tie it to a stake. So I didn't have any of that tie stuff, whatever that gardening thing stuff is that you tie things with. So I think it was some kind of medical tape that stretches. So I tried using that. Super sticky, but it worked for the time being. But when I was trying to carefully move this vine, but as I did it, I was like, oh no, I heard like this little tear. And so there was a bit of a slit in the vine. I was like, oh, I don't know if this is a good thing. So I was just, you know, praying over it and asking the Lord to heal it. So managed to get it tied up. And over time, I've been trying to, you know, be mindful, like, okay, it doesn't look real happy. It probably needs water because I don't know how often to water it. Eventually it started, you know, growing those little flowers. I was like, okay, that's a good sign because I think fruit comes from those. And today I went outside to water it because I was like, oh, it's looking a little sad. And I noticed, okay, we've got some ripe fruit. And so finally today, praise Yahweh, I got the first fruits off the off the vine. Just four little tomatoes. I don't know what kind of tomato plant it is, but it looks delicious. So they're for the Lord, so I'll see what he wants to do with those. But all that to say, I just want to thank Yahweh for this tomato plant. He's teaching me so much through it, and I just pray that there's a message in it for you too. I guess that's it. Praise Yahweh.
I didn't get the homework, but as soon as someone said homework on abiding, I think Danny was like, oh, that's what we've been doing. And then the verse, John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And I think that's the big picture of what it means to abide, is that your fruit proves that you belong to him. And in that belonging, just that belonging, is this pregnant mama glow that we all get to have because he's life in us. And so we get to prove that we belong to him. And I think that's, like, Todd and I have been on this. We have three sons who are in the middle of their marriage. All their marriages are falling apart. And it's all in this season, like every single one of them. And there's child custody situations in all three. And it's awful. And we've had Yahweh asking us to go. I'm thinking we're going to drive 4 days to Montana to be there for 4 days. It feels wasteful. Can I just send you the $1,000 it's going to cost us? You know, I mean, my practical, worldly fixing tries to take over. And yet Todd said, no, we'll just go. And I'm like, oh, I wish he wouldn't have said that. But we did. We just went. And the beauty of it all happened in one conversation. Was like we had to be there for one conversation. And so in that one conversation, my son said something like, karma stinks, but he was a little bit harsher about it. And I said, oh, I don't believe in that religion. And he goes, it's not a religion. I go, yeah, it is. It's something you believe in. That's your religion. And it was just this moment where he looks at me and he goes, yeah, but you have a religion that I don't believe in. I said, yeah, but my religion is always good. My Yahweh, my Jesus, my Yeshua never stinks. And he just said, touche. And it was that one conversation, but we get back home, we're on the phone, because my son, who says he doesn't, he hasn't believed that God is all up in your business. He believes in God, but he's just not all up in your business. And mom and dad believe this kind of form of God that he's all up in your business, and he just doesn't think that. But he has a crisis in his life, and he calls and talks to mom and has mom all up in his business for the last 8 weeks. So he calls. So that conversation happens in Montana. And the thing about being in Montana is that if we hadn't been there, my daughter and I went to his apartment to help him pack his soon-to-be, I don't want to work on this marriage, I want nothing to do with you anymore, daughter-in-law's things. And so we're helping him pack, and we find, like, witchcraft items throughout the house. We find crystals throughout the house. We find all these really evil, ugly things. And my daughter and I, we just prayed, covered ourselves with the blood of Yeshua, and we're fine. We're going to get all this stuff out. Raven's wings, it was bad. We clear it all out, get it all out. When he walks in, he goes, huh, you guys must have cleared something out that wasn't supposed to be here, because he felt it. And I said, oh, no, it has nothing to do with anything we removed. It has everything to do with what we brought with us. It has everything to do with us here. Brian, it doesn't have anything to do with what we took out. So those two, I guess there were two conversations. That one was mom being a little sassy. But the conversation I had with him on the phone, he literally said to me yesterday or the day before when we got home, he said, Mom, there was something about you being here that made such a difference. And I said, Brian, you know what I want to say to you. And he goes, I know. And I said, really had very little to do with me being there or us being there. It had more to do with what we brought with us. Because we glorify the Father because he's in us. And just like it says, so that we prove that we belong to him. So it's not so much about what we are doing, or it's what we carry. It's what we have, what we bring with us. That's, to me, what abiding is that I want to walk in such a way that I can't walk in a room because without something changing, because he is in me, because he's with me, because I'm going to bring glory to him and prove that I belong to him by just being. So that's my homework assignment.
Hey, Dave, would you and Cindy pass out communion? Well, if you can't tell it, I'm going to tell you, he is very active in here today. So, even the little kiddos back there know he's very active today. You can see it on their faces. Some of them are wondering what's going on. Others are like, yay, something's going on. Yeah. Some of them even crying, it seems like. Or does that mean? Yay. I love to share about what Yahweh is doing. And all I have to do is look out the window in the morning when I get up and just, you know, I see that carpet he puts down, you know. Never thought of it that way, except one time when somebody planted zoysia, which is a type of grass which will take over everything in your yard. And it's like walking on carpet. Unfortunately, when you mow it, you drag it all in the house. I don't know why. It's like magnets or something. It won't just fall off your shoes. So I'm not a fond believer in the zoysia stuff. It works. It does grow like crazy. I'm happy to see that the kiddos are taking communion with us. You know, they may not fully understand what it is, but God is in it. And therefore, somewhere along the way, whether you tell them or somebody else tells them, they learn the real, real meaning of it. Most of the time, they're just thinking it's a cracker and juice. And all of a sudden, one day, they're like, oh, it's not just cracker and juice. And it makes a difference. So we'll take this cracker. This body of Yeshua. His sacrifice. I can barely think about it. Being visual, see him, and I'm like, it's just difficult, Lord. But I know you had to do it. There was no other way. So we remember, and we take this, remembering his sacrifice for us. We bless this bread now in Yeshua's name. All right. And we take this cup. The representation that he gave us was, this is my blood. And all of you partake of it. We partake of his body. We partake of his blood. We accept the cup. He accepted the cup that his Father offered him in the garden. And we accept the cup that he offers us. And we bless it now in Yeshua's name. Well, I've been blessed today. I don't know about you, but I have really been blessed. If y'all want to hang around and talk and chat, that's fine. It's a good day. It's a God day. It's Martha, we bless you now as you depart. In Yeshua's name, amen.